to be join you and talk some football here with the KGGF listeners.
Absolutely, and I know our listener base is very excited. Kansas City doing something that's very, very rare in the NFL landscape, going to their sixth consecutive AFC Championship game. We talk about the greatness of Patrick Mahomes all the time, Parker, but in every single year of him as a starter, he's made it to the NFL's Final Four. I mean, that's unprecedented.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't seen a lot of guys do that. I don't think any at all. But when you think of those names that you most often see in these championship games over the last 5-10 years, it's been Manning, it's been Brady, but now Mahomes has worked his way into that conversation. You just expect to see the Chiefs in that conference championship game every year. And this year, to be honest with you, I didn't know if they were going to make it. Shay, you and I both know that this Chiefs team isn't the same Chiefs team years past, a little bit more vulnerable, and that was the big question going into Buffalo last night, but they took care of business on the road.
Yeah, they did, and something that sticks out to me about this year's Chiefs team is, maybe not the same firepower in terms of weapons on offense, but feels like a much more balanced attack, and a big part of that is the emergence of Isaiah Pacheco, who I said a couple weeks ago, I'm not ready to say he's a top 10 running back in the league yet, Parker, but he's just a perfect fit for what the Kansas City Chiefs love to do. He can block well, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he runs hard. They don't run the ball a ton, but Isaiah Pacheco is absolutely perfect for that offense. He had 97 yards rushing yesterday, and the Chiefs end up with 150 yards on the ground, which when you're running for 150 yards, Patrick Mahomes only needs to throw for 215.
Right, and you think about some of the more balanced running backs, and when I say balanced, I mean they can run and catch the ball. What do you get the guys you think of? You think of guys like Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco. There's others out there, but Pacheco working his name into that conversation. I mean, he only had one catch last night, but he went for 14 yards. So when he does catch the ball, he can make big chunk plays out of the backfield, and then he had nearly 100 yards on the ground and a touchdown too.
Yeah, and the joke, the running joke across the NFL, and especially in Chiefs Kingdom, is Isaiah Pacheco runs the football like he's mad at the ground. And I think that's true. I mean, every time you see Isaiah Pacheco with the ball in his hands, he's an absolute bull. We've called a lot of running backs, a tough guy to tackle and a bull, but Isaiah Pacheco is absolutely that. It feels like every single time he has the ball in his hands, it takes 2-3 professional football players to bring him to the ground.
It does. It does. And, two of the league's best defenses, statistically this year playing in that game last night in Buffalo. I thought this Buffalo Bills team going into last night, you had to contain, you had to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And it seemed like in the second half, the Bills just had no answer for the Kansas City offense. Last night the Bills they didn't even sack Mahomes last night. So no pressure, no sacks. You're not going to win a lot of games playing this Kansas City offense if you can't affect Mahomes.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, Travis Kelce had two touchdown catches last night, his first time in the end zone since week 11. So he had a great bounce back performance after a couple slow weeks. But what's funny is Travis Kelce had two touchdowns in a playoff game on the road to send his team to the AFC Championship game. And Parker, he might not have been the most talked about Kelce brother last night.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Jason Kelce, here's one thing that we've talked about at length this year, right? Is Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes and the celebrities in the suites, right? Well, I know this is not the Chiefs' fault. This is not Taylor Swift's fault. This is not Jason Kelce's fault. But and we've talked about this when you've come on my show, Shay. Can we just watch the game, please? I understand that the networks get a big the ratings. It's all about ratings with the networks, right? People are tuning in to see all the Swifties are tuning in to see what Taylor's going to wear in the box. But I just want to watch the game. But you can't help. I don't think I've met a person who doesn't like Jason Kelce. You can't help but be happy for the guy. I mean, you see him, he's rooting for the Chiefs in the box last night. He's got his Chief beanie on. He doesn't have a shirt. I don't know where his shirt went.
At some point in the night, he lost it, and he couldn't find it.
But, you know, and then you see him before the game. He's outside the stadium hanging out with the Bills Mafia. I mean, you know, just a likable dude.
He is. He gives off, you know, the vibe of, like, your favorite uncle at the family barbecue.
Exactly, right.
But, you know, I choose to believe after Patrick Mahomes, or after Travis Kelce scored his first touchdown of the night, he hit a heart in the celebration. A lot of people think that was directed at Taylor Swift, Parker. I choose to believe that heart was for Jason.
Well, and then I heard this morning a lot of people, or some people think it was towards the Buffalo fans, because, Shay, they were giving him hell all night long. I mean, you know, just, you know, and you've come to expect that from the Buffalo Bills fans, but even more so with Jason or with Travis there last night. And I think, you know, him scoring that touchdown was kind of like a, you know, hey, look at this, you know, try talking trash now.
Absolutely. And, you know, something we've talked about a couple times this year, the Chiefs defense, one of the NFL's best, and they show it again. Josh Allen found the end zone twice in the first half. They led it 17-13 at the break. But another game where the Chiefs they might be the best team in the NFL at making halftime adjustments. Only 7 points allowed in the second half to that high-powered Bills offense.
Right. And, you know, this was a game where, I mean, it was close all the way throughout. You know, Buffalo had the lead. At halftime, they were up 3. But you know what? It just goes to show you that when this Chiefs offense is really on, there's not a lot of defenses in the league that can slow them down. And Mahomes, I was curious how he was going to perform last night. You know, going to his first playoff game on the road, you know, of his career, which is that insane to think that. 6 years, 7 years in, and he's finally playing his first playoff game on the road.
Says a lot.
I mean, you know, so it goes to show you how dominant this Chiefs team has been, you know, in the regular season. Because how do you get that home field advantage? You know, you're the number one seed in the playoffs, and that's what the Chiefs have been the last few years. But, Shay, I tell you, not to, you know, get ahead of ourselves here, but they have an unbelievable task in Baltimore next week.
They do. And, you know, when you win in the divisional round on the road and you're in the AFC championship game, you celebrate. And we'll focus on Baltimore when we focus on Baltimore. But you're right. I think, you know, it's something to take away for Chiefs fans, though. Maybe the one gloomy cloud over what was a very successful night for Kansas City. Two key injuries to that defense. Mike Edwards, their safety, left early in the game with a concussion. Who knows if he'll be cleared in time for the AFC championship game. And then this is the big one to me, Parker. Willie Gay, one of their top linebackers, out with a neck injury. He left in the second quarter, did not come back. And that's a big injury to me because he's the linebacker that really travels with mobile quarterbacks. He was supposed to be the QB spy for Josh Allen last night. He's probably going to be supposed to be the QB spy for Lamar Jackson coming up this weekend. So if he can't play, that's a major development.
Right. And you know, everybody thinks that, you know, Josh Allen has a tall task when he gets the ball, you know, takes the ball into his own hands, runs it. Just think, you got a better one at that next week. Lamar Jackson, he's the best rushing quarterback in the league, in my opinion. You know, a former MVP. This Baltimore team is the best, you know, in my opinion, the best team in the league this year. They've just been on fire here in the last. I mean, they come out on Houston on Saturday and beat up on this Houston team that put a hurting on a Cleveland team the week before that nobody thought would be there. So so they go out and they beat Houston on Saturday, and then they're just, you know, they make it look easy, right? Playoff football is not supposed to be easy, but what Baltimore did on Saturday, it made it look easy beating Houston. Granted, they're at home. I know they're at home, and Houston has to go on the road and all that. But, you know, when you have a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, there's not a lot. You know, Houston wasn't supposed to be in the playoffs either. But, you know, C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans had a heck of a chemistry there, took that team to the playoffs, beat that Cleveland team in the wild card round, and then, you know, come out and they lay an egg, or not a leg, they scored an egg, but they scored 10 points. Mm-hmm. But it just a dominant fourth quarter there in Baltimore on Saturday. There's two explosive offenses here. Kansas City, you can, you know, get production out of anybody. And and Lamar Jackson, he can score you points at will.
He sure can, and I know you being a Colts fan, I'm sure you're just stoked to see C.J. Stroud twice a year for the next decade.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it, my friend. Just thrilled. But seriously, you know, that Houston team, nobody thought would be as good as they were. And they had an explosive offense, too. They came out in Week 18 against my Colts. First play from scrimmage, 75-yard touchdown pass to Nico Collins. I mean, it's just these explosive plays. With a team like that, where you don't have a lot of big stars, explosiveness really helps. And that Houston team is going to be a lot of fun. I think that AFC South division as a whole, with Jacksonville, and then you got Houston, obviously, won the division this year. But then the Colts have Richardson and still Taylor and some pieces there. So that's going to be a fun division to watch over the next couple, next 5-10 seasons. But you know what? These playoffs overall have just been, I think, fantastic.
They have, and you know, really quickly, we'll learn more as we go throughout the week and get ready for Sunday in Baltimore. But looking at this Ravens-Chiefs matchup, you mentioned the offensive firepower, of course, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson probably about to win his second MVP. But what I want to know is, right now, with the way the Ravens have looked just so dominant over the last 2 months, and the way that the Chiefs are making mid-game adjustments, are these the two best defenses in the NFL right now going into this one?
You know, I would say so. At least the two best defenses left in the playoffs. I mean, you got a good one there in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan's squad there. The Lions defense isn't anything to gripe about either. So you got some good defenses left in the playoffs, but I think these two in this AFC matchup on Sunday rank at the top.
I would agree with you. And speaking of the Lions, since you brought them up, they're on their way to the NFC Championship for the first time in 32 years with the win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, Parker, it's been said, it's been, you know, talked about to death over the last 2 months, but just incredible, incredible job done by head coach Dan Campbell and GM Brad Holmes. They hit home run after home run in the draft, and Dan Campbell's taking this team from a 3-win team and crying in his first season as head coach to their 1 win away from going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's just, it feels like the entire NFL fan base, even those who aren't Lions fans, are rooting for the Lions. It's unbelievable what Dan Campbell's done. And we had the Lions tackle Taylor Decker on our show earlier in the season. We asked him, is Dan Campbell really like that? Is it an act? And he said, no, that's what you see on TV is what you get from Dan Campbell. And I'm rooting for these Lions. I really am. Could you imagine a Lions-Chiefs Super Bowl?
It'd be crazy. The rematch from Week 1.
You'd get Taylor Swift and Eminem to do the halftime show.
That would be a collab worth watching. I'd be all for that. But, you know, Parker, Dan Campbell, like we said, has been fantastic. But really, I think the unsung hero that's not talked about enough of the Detroit Lions is Jared Goff. I mean, he went from a guy that was mediocre in Los Angeles and wildly inconsistent. A lot of people wrote him off as an average quarterback, maybe a really solid backup down the road. He's playing really good football right now, Parker. I mean, this weekend against Tampa Bay, a really good Tampa Bay defense, he was a gunslinger out there.
Yeah, he was. It's simple. Dan Campbell said it last week. Jared Goff, you're good enough for Detroit. And I can't sum that up. We had one of the TV reporters here in Dayton on our show yesterday. He's a big Lions fan. And he mentioned that Jared Goff is, Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes all represent the city of Detroit very well. You know, you see it on their hats that says grit. But there ain't no better proof of grit than this Lions team. I mean, you go your first playoff game, your first home playoff game in 30 years. You go out and win. And Shay, to be honest with you, I think an underrated or not talked about enough factor in this Lions winning streak here is the fans there at Ford Field. It's been a heck of an atmosphere there in Detroit each of the last 2 weeks. I think that's been ultimately what's been the X factor for the Lions team. But we'll find out how much of a factor they really were when the Lions go to San Francisco next week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the Lions, really good defense, like you said, from their rush defense, one of the league's best, but they're going to have their hands full with Christian McCaffrey. But, you know, two guys that have really stepped up for this Lions team, like we talked about, Brad Holmes hit so many home runs in that draft, and two of them have really stepped up in this postseason. Jahmyr Gibbs, the lightning bolt in the backfield, splitting, obviously, time with David Montgomery, and then Parker, I mean, I thought Sam Laporta was a good tight end coming out of Iowa. I thought he'd be a good NFL player. I didn't think he'd be a top three, top five tight end in the NFL as a rookie.
Right. And Shay, you know, Iowa is tight end you. You got, you know, George Kittle came out of there. You know, Dallas Clark, the Colts tight end.
Hockenson, Noah Fant. Yep.
Right. Yep. So you guys, that's tight end you over there. And Laporta's just another example of those tight ends. I mean, he had 65 yards. I mean, he didn't score this weekend, but you know what? It seemed like, you know, you look at the box score for every Lions game this year, and Laporta's had a touchdown more often than not, you know, in these games. And Gibbs, I'll tell you what, has been just the ultimate of surprises. And we talked about earlier with Pacheco and balanced back, he could run and catch the ball. Gibbs is one of those guys. I mean, he had 74 yards on 9 carries in their game yesterday, scored a touchdown. Then he caught 4 balls for 40 yards. So Gibbs has been a heck of a surprise. And, you know, this you know, Jameson Williams, their young receiver that they drafted, he has been good. So, you know what, this Lions team, and credit to Brad Holmes, like you said, and the whole front office there. They're a fun group.
And Parker, it feels like every single team that wins the Super Bowl has that game wrecker, that X factor on defense, where the Rams a couple years ago, Aaron Donald, the Chiefs have Chris Jones, you know, the old Ravens teams had Ray Lewis and Haloti Ngata, and you know, you always have that guy that makes that one play that changes the game. And I think the Lions have that guy. It's Aiden Hutchinson.
It is, and Shay, you know me, I'm all about a good story when it comes to these playoffs, you know. Typically, I'd say, you know, and you know, this is going to hurt for the Chiefs fans there, you know, in your listening area. But you know, I want to see a little bit of different teams in the playoffs here, different teams in the Super Bowl. And I think this year has been fun because you know the Lions are good, but then you see Hutchinson, you know, playing well, and it's a good story because he's the hometown guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Parker Testa of the NFL Preview Show, good enough to join us this morning. Late minute call to the bullpen to fill some of our programming this morning. But Parker, last thing I have for you, the final matchup we have yet to talk about, 49ers and Packers. 49ers did what they needed to do. Christian McCaffrey continues to play good football. That's a really solid team, like we said. That's going to be a tough game for Detroit. But I want to get your thoughts on Jordan Love, because there was a switch that flipped right around November, and he went from looking like a mediocre guy that maybe they'd give a one-year deal just to see what he's like next year to this might be one of the 5 highest-paid quarterbacks in the league, because in the second half of the season in the playoffs, he was absolutely remarkable.
He was, and there was lots of questions going into the season about, hey, you know, what is Jordan Love going to be a guy? I mean, they really, after Aaron Rodgers left, you know, he's it. They drafted him to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers in the first three quarters of the season. Looked rocky there for Green Bay, but they finished with a heck of a finish to the year. You know, they almost won that game in San Francisco. I actually took them to win the game, but the last three, they won 3 of their last 4 games. They beat the Panthers, Vikings, and Bears. Granted, not the greatest of teams there, but you know, you win 3 of your, or you win 6 of your last 8 games. They found it. I don't know what it was, but Matt LaFleur and those Packers found it. And I think they have some talent there in the wide receiver room and Dobbs. So it's a fun group there in Green Bay.
It sure is, and it's going to be a fun Final Four. Parker, we got about 30 seconds left, but really quickly, I know we're going to learn a lot more throughout the week, but what's your gut telling you the Super Bowl is going to be?
Oh, boy. You know, I can't. This is going to break some hearts there in Kansas country, but I just don't see anybody beating Baltimore right now, Shay, to be honest with you. They look unstoppable. And this Lions team is a heck of a lot of fun. I actually think they go on the road and get it done in San Francisco next week. So I think we're lining up for Detroit-Baltimore Super Bowl.
NFL preview show in Dayton, Ohio's host, Parker Testa, good enough to join us. Parker, always appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks so much.
Shay, thank you, pal. Anytime.
Absolutely. We have a
look and see why so many healthcare professionals.
We have a look at Fox Sports and local news on the way. That's my fault. I'm sorry about that. But we have a look at Fox News and local news coming up next, and we'll be joined by Frybread Journeys coming up just around the corner as well. We're looking at 31 degrees here in Southeast Kansas, and hopefully you're staying dry and you're staying warm because it's a cold one. And be safe if you're traveling. We'll be back right after this.